We're still talking about Israel's unfaithfulness, and we're going to pick up on page 79 with the introduction. We read through a few verses last week, and we got to started to discussing, so we want to just jump into the introduction first, and then we'll go into our first section. I guess I wanted to read that introduction section. Okay.
The author of Judges observed that during the time from Joshua to Eli, God's people found themselves in a monotonous cycle. They seemed fastened to a wheel of their own making. The circle went through the following spaces. 1. God gave them good things he had promised, rain and sunshine for fields, plenty of food, support of families, and peace. 2. Within generations, the people began shoving God to the side. They opened their arms around the arms to the poles. They bowed down. What?
Baals.
That's right.
They bowed down to idols. They participated in the sensual side of the religion of the Canaanites. Centuries later, Jeremiah wrote, "When on every high hill and under every green tree, you lay down playing the harlot." They justified what they did by claiming that Baals brought rain and fruits in their fields. God had warned the people of the consequences of being faithless to him. He was true to his word. Crops failed, enemies invaded, children died, houses burned, and people starved. They went from being the head to the tail. The people cried out to the God who had brought them from Egypt, given them the land, and chosen them as his people. They repented, they put the idols away, and they pleaded for a deliverer. God was moved with pity. He raised up judges to deliver the people from their enemies. He remembered the promise to Abraham. God gave them victory. Under the guidance of the judges, the people were faithful. Prosperity returned, and the cycle began all over again.
Okay. As we discussed last week, we see that the children of Israel had a lot in common with the world in which we live in today. We are in a situation because we have gotten lax also, and along with my lesson later today, we need to think about, if we say to ourselves sometimes, I'm just one person, what can I do? But look at it from this point of view. From the way the world is situated now, you're just one person. Are you going to help keep the world going the way it's going and doing the things that people are doing, which is not improving anything? Or are you going to try to do what God has us to do and try to make things better? You have that choice. But when we pick up that saying, we go along to get along, then we're not helping. We are hurting our own selves. And as a result, we're in the situation that we're in. As the Israelites found out, as so richly was read, for a generation they do good, and then when a new generation come in, they flip-flop. We go back to the beginning again. Same thing we're experiencing. Each generation has its problems, and they have been taught, I'm sure, a lot know what they're supposed to do. And we pick up that other saying, I know what I'm supposed to do, but that's not going to cut it. So we have to be mindful, and we have to teach and instruct and set that example of what we're supposed to do, even though we are one, just one person. Don't have to follow the crowd. We can be different. We're supposed to be different. We're called to be different. And as we go into the lesson, we'll see that God told them just what happened. And it's true to his word. Any comments? We'll move on to the next section. They forsook the Lord. And we read these verses last week, so we're going to just jump into this section, and then when we get into the next section, we'll read the other verses. They forsook the Lord. Someone pick up on first couple of paragraphs here. Verse 2 would be good.
And
Canaanite mythology, Baal was the god of the thunderstorm in the sky, and it was he who brought rain. Cities and regions would have local manifestations of Baal. For example, the Baal of a region named Peor would be Baal Peor. Instead of adding S, the Hebrew language makes a plural of masculine nouns by adding I-M. Hence, the King James Version reads Baal. It is another way of saying the Baals. The Israelites bowed down before whatever local form Baal may have taken. In mythology, the female consort of Baal was Astarte. She was the goddess of the earth. When Baal sent the rain on the ground of Astarte, she brought forth the crops. Hebrew makes a feminine noun plural by adding oath or art. Hence the spelling Ashtore. Above Baal and Ashtore, Astarte in the Canaanite pantheon was the god El or El and his consort Asherah, the mother of the gods. Canaanites symbolized the presence of Baal with a pillar of stone, Asherah with a pillar of wood or a grove of trees. Both Astarte and Asherah are sometimes associated with Baal. Later, Gideon was told to throw down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah that is by it.
Okay. It's common knowledge, I guess you would say, that people, no matter what region they live in, they got a culture of what they go by. It's like they got their own laws and their own rules. And the Canaanites had their own gods. Regardless of whether we agree with it, understand it, or think that, oh, they just a bunch of heathens, they don't know nothing, they still got a code. Even if they don't have a god that they worship, they have a code that they live by and things that they do. Our common phrase, well, I don't want to stand out, I don't want to make no trouble, I want to go along to get along. Can't we just get along together? God knew that if these people come together, because the Canaanites were already established here, they were going to have an effect on the Israelites. And so God told them from the beginning, destroy everything. But they decided, well, as generations go, and some of the older generations also, oh, we've beaten them, we've defeated them, they can't do anything to us, so, you know, we're not going to kill them, you know, we got them as our servants, so, you know, this okay. But you see their customs and their ways, it may have an effect on you as to what you're accustomed to doing. And it did. They had them believing that their gods were the ones that brought rain and sunshine. And you would think, now, all this time, we came from Egypt all the way over here. Didn't we encounter rain? Didn't we encounter sunshine? The Canaanites gods didn't provide that. Our God of Abraham did that. And when things got rough, they didn't call on the Canaanite gods. They called on the God of Abraham to deliver them. But even though the generations were taught better and they strayed, they still knew that Almighty God was the one that they were going to rely on. It's sort of like you get people, you might come in contact with people that say, oh, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. And as soon as something happened, oh God, oh my God, who are you calling on? Because you're atheist. So what are you saying? You know, they don't even, and some of them would even say, Lord, help me. When, as we say, the rubber beats the road, things get so hard and rough, and they don't know nothing else to do, then they're ready to accept God. Or they'll say it anyway. You're not committed or not as committed as strongly as they think they are. But they just don't want to conform because of care's responsibility. So the same is with these Israelites. They went against what God told them to do, and now the Canaanites are having an effect on them. Comments?
We're fighting that battle today. God has given us an outline of what what he wants us to believe in and stand up for him. And they form our pillars of belief, which really form our integrity. And our politics now is a matter of compromise.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you compromise your belief, you've given up one of your integrities. And how many compromises do you make in your life when you don't stand for anything?
Right.
You have no pillars of belief anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But we do that under the guise of just love for everybody. Just get along, You gotta love everything everybody does and just don't cause any commotions.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that, then you really you're standing on sand instead of on the rock.
That's right. Yep. Very good. Good, Jay.
It's just like this day and time, when you ask somebody and they just say, they spiritual, So, Lord, put it on my heart. So when someone say that, mm-hmm. I'm going to say, so what about the Holy Spirit? See what they say.
Mm-hmm.
They say, then you're missing out. Let them know you're missing out.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is part of Acts 2:38.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know you're missing out.
That's true. That's where you make your stand.
Mm-hmm.
That's as the one person. That's what you do, to let it be known that I'm for God.
Yeah.
As for me and my house, I'm for God.
Mm-hmm.
You can come on in.
Good morning. Hi.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Let me get another book.
No, welcome. We're glad to have you.
Yes.
Happy Lord's Day.
Happy Lord's Day.
Going off of what Brother Jerry just said,
mm-hmm.
from the Find It in Hebrew, we find what we are discussing in the Lord's Word.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something man made up. This is His Word. And when people come to that understanding, that when God speaks, He means it.
Right.
Because I'm just picking up Hebrews 12, 5, where he says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline,
mm-hmm.
and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves,
mm-hmm.
and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son."
That's right.
That is genuine love. That goes completely against let's get along to get along.
Right.
So God will rebuke you, punish you, discipline you because he loves you.
That's right. Yeah.
That's genuine. That's true. It's not an emotional feel good buddy reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's a myth. And unfortunately, that is like sugar. When you need a diet of meat, you can't live off of sugar.
Right.
It's not sweet all the time. And again, picking up where the Israelites have done a detestable thing, and it is detestable to God.
Oh yes.
And so in Psalm, mm-hmm. it talks about this. Psalm 115. "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Why do nations say, where is their God?" And again, in this example, the Assyrians and the Baals.
Mm-hmm.
And for our nation today, when they look at something or someone else and put it up as an idol. You know, they made them more important than God. Why do nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. Not you. Not your wants. Not your desires. But pleases him. Mm-hmm. But their idols are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but cannot speak. Eyes, but they cannot see.
Right.
They have ears, but cannot hear. Noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. Feet, but they cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them. Mm-hmm. And so will all who trust in them.
Very good.
So again, the warning for us today.
We tend to place God in a bottle like a genie. God gives us what we want, when we want it, how we want it. And if you can't do that, then we don't want to have nothing to do with him. And that's what puts us in a bad situation. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about, you know, when your parents used to get you, before they get you, they said, this is going to hurt me more than you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I used to wonder, how is that going to happen? You know, I'm the one that's crying. You're not crying. Yeah.
And yeah. That's the same effect.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to have that understanding. Okay. Yes.
I was just thinking, too. You know, for those who still resist, I want to say to them, don't you see how God is blessing you with life today, with the beauty that's around you, with blessings all around? And they'll say, oh yeah, yeah, that's nice, that's nice. Well, why don't you think about coming to worship Him 1 hour, at least 1 hour this week, and you know, do the right thing. It's just 1 hour of your time. It's not going to hurt you. You're going to love it. You're going to feel better for it. And give a chance to praise God for all these blessings you acknowledged that He gave you. So let's just give Him 1 hour. Come on. Do it for me. You know, I try to make it as easy as I can for them. Just come on. It's okay to be with the people that love the Lord. And what a blessing they'll get. Then they'll see the blessings flow.
But again, that's the same thing that they don't see. And until they get in a situation where I've done everything I can do, I can't do nothing else. Well, maybe I'll listen to God now. You know, you got him in this bottle. And when I need you, I'll call you. But when as long as everything going good, it's like the guy that's living next door that comes over at night and he's milking your cow, getting the milk. As long as he can do that, why are he going to buy a cow? Because he's getting yours. You know, you got some already. You already milked yours earlier today. You got what you needed. What's wrong with it? You know, I don't see no problem with it until situation is reversed. If it's his cow and then you coming over milking, hey, you know, it's wrong then. So they can't see, you know, but it takes them to the point where they have to get helpless, so to speak. Then they realize. Yes.
I listen to a lot of K-Love in the car,
mm-hmm.
the only channel I have on. And all the stories you hear are people who are in their worst desperate moments when they realize that God's their Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why do you have to get to your lowest point before you realize He's been there the whole time?
Human frailty, I guess you could call it. When the COVID came out, I'm not taking that shot. I don't know what they got in that stuff. And then as soon as they get it, I want to tell you, you need to get the shot because it's going to help you. But before, oh no, you couldn't pay them to take a shot. Until it becomes right in their quarter space, then it changes them. And God knows, and with the Israelites, and with us too, He gives us the free will. You do what you want, then He'll bring you down, or He'll set you down to where you realize, I can't move, I can't even speak. You know, now, God help me. It's only two words you can say, God help me. Okay, let's go with the next two paragraphs. Bottom of page 79, somebody. Starting with the Israelites.
The Israelites seem to think that they can adopt Canaanite gods and keep the Creator God in their back pocket for a spare.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, of the monotheists, the people of Israel became henotheists, those who believed in one God without denying the existence of other gods. They believed that the God of Abraham was chief among other gods. God would have none of it. At times, the people seemed to want to transform from the God of Abraham into a God more on the order of Baal. It would not work. You shall not plant for yourself any tree as a wooden image near the altar which you build for yourself to the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 16:21. God's people forsook him, but God would not leave Israel alone. He was working out a plan for the salvation of the world through them. Like it or not, they were his people, Ezekiel said, and the Lord chastens, which means correct, those whom he loved, in Proverbs Hebrews. God chastened the Israelites, and he turned them over their enemies.
What a great example of God's mercy and grace. Regardless of what we do, He gives us the free will and the ability. And He tells us, don't do that. He doesn't stop us from doing what we know we shouldn't do. And in this case, the Israelites, they know what they were supposed to do. And still, after they, when they did it, His grace and His love outshines, and He still provides for them, sends someone to correct them, to gather them, to lead them, to show them what they need to do. And things get better. Mm-hmm. And what they're supposed to do, teach it to their young, follow it, they follow it, and so they are best. They prosper. Crops grow, everything is going good, wars cease. And they're supposed to teach them to the young. And they do. But as we see today, our children grow, and again, I'm a witness. I'm one. I'm grown now. I can do what I want to do. You know, I used to go to church every Sunday. I'm not going to church today. I want to go out here and play ball. I want to go to the lake. I want to go visit somebody over here. I want to take a trip. I want to do whatever I want to do. And keep on doing what I want to do till I find out I'm in a small little box confined. And realize I need God. I need to change. And then I have to repent. But God still, instead of saying, I told you so, He says, okay, come on. Come on. You repent, you sorry, come on. Takes me back. Here's your opportunity to get yourself together. And let's try this again, He says. And I go out. And after hitting my head up against the wall enough times, I finally realized, hey, when are you going to learn? This not going to work. You know, everything you tried is not going to work. You need to change up. As soon as I made that realization, things got better. And then keep on going the same. I would go different routes and end up in the same place. There's something wrong with that picture, you know. But that's what the Israelites did.
Mm-hmm.
Comments. All right, let's go to page 78 and read those three, four verses, 16 through 19, before we go into the next section. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked, and obeying the commandments of the Lord, they did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to mercy, to pity, by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers. They followed other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Now, page 80, the Lord raised up judges. Can someone pick up and read that section there, please? Anybody?
You can start at two stories?
Yes.
Two stories at the end of the judges are punctuated with the phrase, in those days there was no king in Israel. Judges 17, all the verses there, in the book chapter verse. The nations around Israel had kings. Consequently, the people of those nations were able to rally around their king and present a unified front against Israel. The people of God had no king. They had needed none when they were victorious over Egypt, when they defeated the Amorites, and when the walls of Jericho fell. God was their ruler. He gave them victory. Gideon said, I will not rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. The Israelites suffered occupation from enemies because they turned away from God, but they misunderstood and they thought their problem was that they had no king. But no, God put up with the sins of misunderstanding of his people. He showed them that he would deliver them without the necessity of a king. God raised up judges temporarily. The judges took control of defending the Israelites. God gave victory, small in number, ill-equipped for war. The Israelites drove off their enemies because God was with the judges he raised up. When the people excelled God and made them rulers and lord, their way prospered. The people of Israel was unrelenting in turning their backs on God. They would not listen to the judges God raised up for them. When the battle had been won, they turned back to the gods of the Canaanites. Eventually, God would give them the king they craved, but during the period of the judges, he kept trying to spare them the burden of a king. Sin was deeply ingrained. When a judge died, the people would turn back to idolatry with a zeal that had eluded their fathers. Promises and vows made to God during times of distress were forgotten when prosperity returned.
All right. Thank you. Has it ever happened? And maybe it never happened to you. I know it has happened to me. Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll do. Lord, if you just make this go away, I'll straighten up and I'll change. Lord, if you just give me this, I can do thus and such. We make promises and plead. As soon as we get what we want, we forget. Human trait. It's not that we intend to forget, and we sure didn't intend to lie when we came to God and asked Him if you could just do this for me. But after things get better, you're so engrossed in other stuff that's going on that you tend to forget about even saying thank you. It has happened. And we see other people with stuff, and we think we're supposed to have it too. You know, when you were young, your parents said, well, why you do something? Everybody else is doing it. You know, that's the thing to do. And your parents will tell you, well, I don't care about Tom, Dick, and Harry, or whoever your best friend was. I got you to raise. You gonna do what I said do. Then you, hey, well, I can't do that. Everybody else, everybody going to the party tonight. I got to stay home. Everybody going to the fair. I can't go. Everybody going to the swimming pool. I can't go. It's hot too. We want to do what everybody else do because everybody else doing it. What's that scripture about? Wide is the gate. And many go, and we follow the crowd. Because everybody going that way, so it must be right. But God said, do this. And we know what He said, but, you know, this, I just want to twist it a little bit, try to, you know, just so I can get away with this. I'm gonna do right next time. You know, you ask somebody, can you go to church with me tomorrow? I can't go this time, and I'm gonna go with you next time. We always want to put it off and doing what we're supposed to do. Again, such as the Israelites, God set the example and showed them, I'm going to give you someone to help you get out of this situation. Follow Him. Do what He said. Okay. You don't need no king. I'm going to take care of you. Okay, God. Just get me out of this. You win the war. Everything is going nice. We're sharing with our neighbors. People are having babies and folks getting married and it's just a peaceful time, and it's great to be alive. You know, it's a happy Lord's Day, you know. And then, because of something that you want to do, and where did that thought come from? That something that you want to do. You don't think about that. That's that little guy sitting on that shoulder. Go ahead, you can do it. It's all right. You can get away with it. It may not be right, but hey, who gonna know? And you, as Jerry said, you compromise. Well, I ain't gonna go do everything I'm supposed to do. I'm gonna do some of it. I'm supposed to do it all. I'm gonna do some. And then we suffer for it.
But we're all guilty of that. You know, we find ourselves in desperate situations.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times does God still?
That's the
graciousness of God. That's the beauty of God. That is what is so great about God. His love is forever. No matter what you do, He still forgives you if you come with a repenting heart, sincere heart. Don't just say, "Well, Lord, I'm sorry." Really mean it and try to do better. And then He'll show us when we make mistakes. Okay, well, I ain't going to do that no more. And mean it. You might do something else, but you don't do that no more. And that's how we grow. That's how we learn, and we have to confess our sins to God first. And then don't be ashamed of it to let somebody else know, because 9 times out of 10, somebody else already know anyway. You know? And who knows who you're going to help by telling what happened with you. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay, we got a little bit further today than we did last time, I think. Yes?
Not saying that God's word needs to be balanced, like, you know, so many stories on this and so many stories on that. But do we think that so much of what he has recorded, say it like that, recorded, is because he knows that we're going to do those same things? Because mm-hmm. there are times, like you said, the judges were raised up.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that there was a group of people that was willing to save or help guide the Israelites. And we know that Gideon was mentioned. So there are people and great examples, but he shows more of the humanness of people, I guess. What I'm trying to say is, like, okay, we're going to fall, we're going to falter. You know, we can have all the wise counsel, like Solomon, you know, he had his father David, but we realize that David might not have been the greatest man with his actions, but where his heart was. But God does this in his word so that there's no reason for us to say, or it shouldn't be a reason for us to say, oh, this is not about me. Because mm-hmm. there's more of the humanness here than, I'm going to say the hero part. I'm not trying to balance it because it can't be balanced, but he's giving us more of our humanness in every word that's written. Like putting things before him, you know, getting our stubborn ways. Like he's saying, I created you and I know you're human. So I'm going to show you that it's a possible for a change. It's possible for that reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I know you're asking a question, but you are saying the answer to the question that you're asking. That is why he put this in words for us, so that we can learn and prosper by it and not keep doing the same thing, but knowing how we are and who we are, because as you said, he created us. He knows we are some stubborn, hard-headed, for lack of better words, crazy people, you know, just like sheep. You know, we're going to go every which way, and we say our own self, I know what I'm supposed to do, but... And then we see stuff that God put in front of us, and we say, I don't believe it. Well, what else can you believe? It's right there for you. But he shows us, and he tells us over and over again, hoping that sooner or later we're going to get the message and straighten up before you get to the bridges out. You know, and some of us do. If you recall that lesson I did not too long ago, why God made all these people, and he know that all the people that he made, everybody not going to go to heaven? Because he gives us that free will. So if you don't go to heaven, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. But he still tells you, and he still comes back and, okay, you learned your lesson yet? All right, come on. Mm-hmm. And then he takes you and you let you go on a little bit longer, and then you mess up again. And if you come to him repentantly, sincerely, come on, you learned this lesson. Now you done learned a couple of lessons. So you're getting older. You're getting better. But some of us don't. Some of us learn, but we got this forgetful problem. And it's not because we're old. It's because we keep listening to the little guy on our shoulder telling us, you can do this, you can do this. And we keep listening to him, and we figure we can do this. And then we suffer for it. But God still says, okay, now you learned your lesson. Let's get it right. Start over. I'm still here with you. Because there were so many people and stories that didn't get that chance that we got today to repent. When they messed up, it was like the lightning bolt. I just whacked them all because he told them, He gave him an opportunity. You had your free will. And you still mean you're going to defy me? It's like my mother, I told you to sit down. Didn't I tell you to sit down? that was it. Now, I ain't had to get told no more. I'm going to sit down because I don't know where that's going to come from. So I learned, you know. Of course, I had a brother that was a little bit more hard-headed than me, a little more stubborn than me. So he got a few more of those, you know. But yes, this is what it's for us to learn. And we are blessed to have something that we can go to learn and a way to come to repent and ask for forgiveness. But we don't have to go to a priest or nobody else. We can go to God our own self. The important thing is, how is this? Go ahead, take us out.
It's unfortunate that far too many of the world would love to quote the Bible when they've never even read it.
Mm-hmm. They want to turn it their way, though. You know, as long as it fit what they want to do, you know. And if they get away with that, as the devil said, did God really say, you know, or did he say this? Yeah, I can't even remember exactly what, but this sounds good, you know. But that's why we're supposed to study. Mm-hmm. We study, we'll know. I don't care what you said, I know what I'm supposed to do. You know, I don't care what you do. I know what I'm supposed to do.
That's right.
You know?
Like James said, that's not what my Bible says.
That's right.
I'm going to carry that with me forever, James.
That's right.
Thank you all.
My Bible says.
Lesson's over. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.